Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And slowly we are inching towards the big day, the mega moment of our lives, which is just a month or so away, the grand, glorious celebration of the 50th birthday of Bhagwan.
Happy, 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 be happy. Happy, happy, make others happy. All will be happy, God will be happy.
Love is His message. Love is His form. And love is timeless. Celebrating an epochal moment in an endless epic. 90 years of Satya Sai.
So the 90th birthday is just 45 days away, and for so many who are in the evening of their lives, probably this will be the biggest moment of their lifetime. And for some who are young, probably this will be the biggest they have seen so far in their lives. And for everyone, it is going to be something they will carry with them, they will cherish till their last breath. But before the birthday festivities begin in Prashantinilayam in November, the momentum is building up every single day. You have huge contingent of devotees from all over India and the globe visiting Prashantinilayam all throughout the year. Now you have devotees from South Africa who are here for their Puttaparthi pilgrimage. And tomorrow, October 9, 2015, they are going to present a musical offering and drama at the lotus feet. I happen to speak to one of them. In fact, not just one, so many of them. And the kind of love they have for Swami and the inspiration they carry in their hearts is just phenomenal. The leader of their group, Mr. Ravi Taver, was saying how Swami confirmed to him in such a special mystical manner that he is indeed Lord Shiva himself, and how he told me how he is able to walk on the path of Dharma in the midst of so many challenges and disturbing forces in South Africa only because of the strength that Sai gives him. My life is for Sai. My life is just Sai. This is what he said. In fact, very soon you're going to hear a detailed conversation with so many members of this Parthi pilgrimage team from South Africa in this segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So the month of October is on, and as I was just telling you, the momentum is on before the grand birthday celebration. Heralding this will be the glorious Dasara celebrations, which will begin just a few days from now. On October 16, 2015 will begin the Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam, the Vedic sacrifice for world peace, and the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha, the assembly of scholars elucidating on the ancient glory of the eternal message of the Master enshrined in the Vedas and the scriptures. In fact, my mind goes back to the 60s, when for the first time Bhagwan conducted this Yajnam, the holy sacrifice in Prashantinilayam. Actually, how that happened is pretty interesting. It was the time when Bhagwan was touring many places in Andhra Pradesh, and he was to visit the East Godavari district. So the devotees in that area suggested that perhaps a yaga could be included as one of the functions that Bhagwan might attend when he visited the East Godavari district. But when Swami heard of this, he said, you could as well do this yajnam in Prashantinilayam itself, and do it during the Dasara celebrations. Then thousands from all over India can have the thrill of witnessing this. And so after this, a list of qualified ritualists and reciters, pandits and shastris was sent to Bhagwan. And when Swami saw this list, he commented that all the pandits are from the Konaseema region, that is the deltaic region, which has these districts of East Godavari and West Godavari. And Swami said, my Seema is not just Kona Seema. Swami said, my Seema is Veda Seema. Seema means the area of influence or the limits. So Swami said, his limits is everywhere, everywhere where Vedas are revered. And so now the list was revised, and the Vedic scholars and pundits were invited from various places, not just from that Kona Seema region, from Banaras, from Bangalore, from Hyderabad. And that is how the first Veda Purusha Saptaha Gyana Yajnam happened. Right from the beginning, it had two sections. The morning session for 7 days of Atirudra Homam with all its complimentary rites. And the evening session had the Jnana Yajna, where distinguished exponents of the Vedas explained the nuances of our ancient spiritual heritage, the meaning and the significance and the inner import of all these sacrificial rites and their relevance in the modern times. In fact, Bhagwan, in one of his discourses during the week, referred to the derision with which many Hindus react when they see so much of ghee being poured into the fire. Swami actually spoke of such critics as dwellers in the realm of cash books. Swami said these are people who clamor for jars of ghee and bundles of fuel than the more precious and lasting joy of having invoked and pleased the gods. Swami said that satisfaction that these ancient rites confer cannot ever be expressed in terms of cash. In fact, Bhagwan went further and said, all these questioners have consumed hundreds of bags of rice since birth. They have drunk pots of ghee so far. Let me ask whether they have had a single day of happiness themselves or whether they have been able to give a single day of joy to others. But look at this yajnam. This has given joy to so many. It confers peace and joy to the world. Swami said, I and my people are delighted. That is enough compensation. When ghee is poured into the fire, those who do not know or believe the Vedas say it is waste. In the same manner, those who do not know agriculture may cry that casting seeds in the furrow is a colossal waste. But the agriculturist knows that he will get the grain back 100-fold. And then finally, Bhagwan said, prayers reach the addressee only when they are duly stamped with mantras and dropped into the sacrificial fire. This is a science as much as any other. And on the penultimate day of the yajnam, the first Veda Purusha Saptaha Gyana Yajnam, Swami announced, tomorrow when the valedictory offering is poured into the sacrificial fire, I want each one of you to resolve with your will that you are pouring into the flames all the evil in you, all the egoism, and all the degrading attachments and all the habits that drag you down. And then came Bhagwan's grand announcement. Tomorrow, at the moment of valedictory offering, you will be given the darshan of the Yajna Purusha, the person who actually receives all these offerings. And just as he had promised, Swami himself ascended the Yajna Vedi at that very moment. Needless to say, the devotees were thrilled to their bones. And this thrill of Dasara, this light and delight of Dasara is something that has continued for so many years, for years and decades. And just like the Yajnam, Swami also started the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha. In fact, the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha was not restricted in those days to just talks in the evening sessions of Dasara celebrations. In fact, the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha was an institution by itself. In fact, on October 20th, 1965, Swami had the convocation of about 200 scholars and he exhorted all of them to work for the revival of Sanatana Dharma and the resurrection of the practice of Dharma. Swami said, Ma Bhavani gave a sword into the hands of Emperor Shivaji, commissioning him to venture forth and uphold Sanatana Dharma. Bhagwan said, this Shiva Shakti is today giving you this sword of courage. Go forth and revive Dharma in this world. In all lands, the true sense of values has to be restored and faith in the divinity of man has to be implanted. This is the work for which I have come. The great sins today are hypocrisy, spiritual weakness, self-condemnation and cowardice. This work of Dharma Sthapana has been done before and it is being done over and over again. But the difference is now you have the chance to be a part of it. Join this great task and make your lives worthwhile. In fact, in Venkatagiri, Swami said, the establishment of the Prashanti Vidvan Mahasabha is an epoch-making event. For it is not less than the dawn of the golden era of the liberation of humanity. And in fact, in those days, the chosen members of the Prashanti Vidwan Mahasabha went from village to village, city to city, and organized events to sensitize people about righteous living and reverence towards our scriptures and culture. And of course, with time, this whole momentum acquired a completely new dimension once Bhagwan started the colleges and the university came into being. Now, not just few students of the erstwhile Prashanti Veda Pathshala, but a huge concourse of students chanted Vedas. And now, globally, from Canberra to California, you had people chanting Vedas. And now, Swami had not just the Vedic scholars, but scholars from all fields and disciplines. In fact, a band of students and scholars were continuously trained and shaped by Bhagwan for this mission of bringing in the golden age. And one such golden instrument of the Lord, a live wire in His mission, who has not only thrilled audiences with His fantastic exposition of Swami's message, but also more importantly, has lived that life. Someone who has tremendously inspired so many by His life, by His ideals, by His activities. Someone who has lived the word of the Master every moment of His life, motivating scores of devotees, young and old, to march with tenacity, with devotion, and with determination on this path. Someone whom Swami so affectionately called my puppet. Yes, Mr. Ajit Popat from London, from United Kingdom. Today, by His grace, we have him in the studios of Radio Sai for this last segment of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:54, and as I just mentioned, today we are extremely grateful to Bhagwan that we have him. We have, thanks to His grace, in the studios, Mr. Ajit Popat from the United Kingdom. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios, and welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Om Sri Sai Ram. I am extremely grateful to Bhagwan for having made it possible for me to be at the feet of His lotus feet in the Radio Sai. I'm honored and privileged, and just before we commence the program for the day, I think it will be very appropriate that I invoke the blessing of my Master so that He inspires me and motivates me and makes me His true puppet to convey the message in the manner in which He expects. So I will recite a beautiful mantra which is part of the Guru Vandana.
Mannatha Shri Jagannatho Madguru Shri Jagadguru Mamatma Sarvabhutatma Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
My humble salutations at the divine lotus feet of my beloved Bhagavan. Dear brothers and sisters, the most fortunate listeners of Radio Sai. I remember Swami once told me that in the morning you should commence your day with, not with the BBC program, but Baba Broadcasting Program. Baba Broadcasting Program is nothing but His own reflection, which is known as Radio Sai. He also told me that you should not start your day with big complex. We are in 21st century, are habituated to take alternative medicine, supplement medicine, and we take B-complex. Swami said, you wear B-complex and my complexion. B-complex stands for Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa, the fundamental principles of Bhagwan's divine teaching. And then he said that many of you, because you lead such stressful and artificial life and not artificial life, you have to check your BP, blood pressure. No, no. Kadu kadu. You should check your BP. What is the level of your Baba power? Are you connected? Or you are only collecting? I remember one Swami told me when I was going to London, Swami was very grateful, gracious. He called me for an inner interview and he said, Puppet, it is not the collection that matters, not the information that is important. That is very elementary. I believe in transformation, but even that is also subsidiary. The most important thing is, leave aside the information and do not only become a bookworm and collect information. Do not concentrate and try and become transformed. No. Your ultimate objective is to become a transformer.
Oh, wow.
Anybody and everybody who comes in touch with you, he must feel that he is in satsang. He must buy your thought, word and deeds. Swami said, kayena vachana manasa. He must be transformed. By mere coming in your context, it is like when the wires are connected with the transformer, then only the electric supply will flow. The switch is on, the bulb is okay, the connection is fine, but the transformer is closed. It is shut down. Will there be any light? Will there be any delight? Will there be any might? No. So Swami said, do not be satisfied only by collecting information. Do not also be very happy and elevated only because you have transformed your life. No. That is only beginning in the right path. Become a transformer. Your life, your words, your deeds will enlighten and empower the people, and they will be inspired and motivated to lead and walk on the Sai path.
Wow.
Today's talk, which I would like to focus with the permission of my brother Pushti, taking this wonderful opportunity, is to dwell upon certain fundamental teachings of Bhagavan, that how to live with a living God. Let me start quoting a very beautiful example which I read in one of the books of Paramahamsa Yogananda, a great spiritual master who had received the divine blessing of his Guru Maharaj Yukteswarji. It was very appropriate that I did first Guru Vandana. Once, after the evening session in California in Yogat Bhavan, an American devotee approached Paramahamsa Yogananda, bowed down to him, and he said that, Swamiji, with your divine permission, may I have the freedom to ask you one question? He said, yes, my son, go ahead. He said, Swamiji, have I understood correctly that your fundamental teaching is that I should find peace in me, with myself? Paramahamsa Yogananda gave a very beautiful smile and he said, my dear son, that is not my fundamental teaching. My fundamental teaching is that first of all, the foremost thing is that you must find peace with God. Because when you have done that, you have made the right decision to live with God. So brothers and sisters, my dear listeners, have we found peace with God? Because if we have found, then we will appreciate, number one, that He, whatever He does, is only for our good. Number two, we will not complain. Number three, we will not question Him. Number four, we will not become judgmental about Swami's judgment. I remember once in Trai Vrindavan, Bhagavan was talking about Mahabharata. And Swami said that it has been recorded by revered Vedavyasji in Mahabharata that Lord Krishna, having understood the realistic situation and the fait accompli situation that now the war is inevitable, he still wanted to give a last chance to Duryodhan. So he decided that on behalf of 5 Dharmaputra Pandavas to go as an ambassador of peace. Duryodhan, having come to know about it, he decided to hold this meeting not in his own palace but in the palace of Dushasan. It is recorded
that the palace of Dushasan was the most magnificent during those days. Lord Krishna came there and he simply asked on behalf of 5 Pandavas that Duryodhan, I seek only 5 villages for my 5 Pandavas. And then there will not be any necessity for any war. Duryodhan, who was the embodiment of arrogance, ignorance, ego, jealousy, vanity and pride, he refused. When Lord Krishna came back, in physical language as we say, empty-handed, Swami interrupted by saying that Lord did not come back empty-handed. He came back after having accomplished his mission. Because he knew it, that Duryodhan, leave aside 5 villages, will not give even 5 square feet of area. So, do not go with this crazy idea that Krishna failed. Avatar never fails. And then Swami gave a very beautiful smile to all of us in Trai Vrindavan and he said, in Sai Avatar, even such Leela will not be enacted. In Sai Avatar, such opportunities will also not be created where people might get this crazy idea that Sai has failed or Swami has gone wrong in his judgment or Swami has made mistake. No, no. Kadu kadu. Such thing will never happen. So, coming back to what I was saying about Swami Yukteswar Maharaj's choicest disciple, Paramahansa Yogananda, he said that first you must find peace with God. In whatever family you are born, who would not like to be born in Buckingham Palace? Tell me. But the fact is that you are born in a village which is very close to Kaduguri in Whitefield. Well, that is what God has decided. You cannot question. It is very beautifully said by Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, in Holy Quran, that God has given you all the freedom, but he has given not 4 freedom. A, you cannot decide your place of birth. B, you cannot decide who will be your parents. C, you will not be able to decide who all will be there when you will be breathing for the last. And fourth, you will not decide who will carry you to the grave. These 4 things are decided. Time, samay, sandarbha. The time and circumstances are controlled by only God Almighty. I remember once I was sitting with Bhagwan in the inner room and Swami told me that, Papa, have you seen the picture of Lord Shiva? I said, yes, Swami. He said, what is he holding in his hand? I said, Swami, Trishul. He said, what does Trishul mean? It has got 3 forks. He said, I am that. Anybody and everybody can know his past because that's what he has lived. Anybody and everybody can talk about the present in which he has been placed because he is the circumstantial evidence. But nobody can for certainty say what is going to be his future. Whereas God Almighty knows your past, present and future. So brothers and sisters, let's go back to our original subject. I am not going to concentrate upon this particular aspect that how to love God, how to live with the living God. I am going to focus today's opportunity on this vital subject, how to live with God. Because we are living entity. We are fundamentally having spiritual experiences in human frame. Swami corrected me and said, no, kadu kadu. You are a spiritual being having human experiences. So we are living entity. Our day-to-day living is in the real world. And I want to focus on this aspect that while living in the world, how to live with the living God. Many people, my listeners, might have this argument in saying that, but Swami is no more living. Yes, it is true. But it is half-truth. Swami is not living in physical form. That is a matter of fact. But in his cosmic form, he is ever alive. Name mrutyu shanka, name jati bheda, pita naiva me naiva, mata na janma, na bandur na mittam, gurur naiva sishya, chidananda rupa, shivoham, shivoham. Swami once told me, you know what is my attributes? Ekam Advityam Sai. There is only one but Sai. Shivam Shantam Advaitam. That is Sai. Satchit Anandam. That is Sai. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. That is Sai. That Sai who has no birth, who has no death, who is beyond time, space and causation, is always alive. So, I am right in saying that how to live with living Swami. Swami is living. Every breath of Swami is our breath which... I remember one Swami told me very beautifully, he said, puppet, every one of you in this creation is living on borrowed time, borrowed money and borrowed energy. Your pranavayu is my blessing. Your every breath which sustains you physically is my grace. And the energy that you derive at physical, mental, intellectual, psychic and spiritual level is my blessing. So, coming back to this important question as to how to live with living master. Once again, I will go back to the interview room where Bhagwan, during those days, between the time that was available to him and for us, out of his immense mercy and grace, between the interval between the morning darshan and bhajan, there used to be some time. At that time, Bhagwan was the embodiment of nothing but dynamic power. He was so agile, so alert, and so vigilant that he used to be all the time in Varanda, and he used to give us the golden opportunity of having the proximity of the Lord. So most of the interviews were conducted during that interval between the bhajan and the interview, and he used to take me inside the inner room. One of the messages he gave it to me, and lesson that he wanted me to learn and which I want to share with you in the spirit of caring and sharing, he said, puppet, you are living with me. Have you understood the art of living? No, you haven't. Then he asked me, where is God? I said, Swami, God is everywhere. So he simply smiled and he said, how do you know? I said, Baba, I know it. He said, puppet, don't give stupid answer. First feel it, then know it, then experience it, then realize it, then proclaim that God is everywhere. Do you feel His presence? When we go to the altar of Swami in Mahasamadhi Mandir or in our individual houses, in our respective places of worship, do we feel that that chair is occupied and it is not empty? Do I really feel it? Have I consciously known it? Is it my personal experience or because I have read it or I have heard it or I have somebody is like puppet has told me that I believe it? Have I realized it finally? The Swami first of all said, first feel it. My problem is, brothers and sisters, Swami once told me, God is very simple, puppet is very complex. Swami told me that first of all you don't feel it. And even if you feel it, that feeling is momentary. It's a sentiment which is a passing cloud. It is not a constant integrated awareness. That feeling is not constantly like breathing. Ajaba Gayatri. Secondly, he said that your knowledge is also auto-suggestion. What you read in Times of India or London Times, you believe it. What is written in Mahabharata and Ramayana, you question it. Did it really happen? You question in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Did Lord really give the Gita Upanishad and Gita Sandesh and Adesh and Updesh to Arjuna, and Arjuna was only the medium. Arjuna was only an instrument. It was meant for every one of us in this millennium and centuries to come. So the question is that do you know it consciously? I remember a very beautiful incident took place in Belur Math. Swami Shivananda, Tharak Maharaj, Mahapurushji, he was the second president of Ramakrishna Mission. One day in the afternoon he saw one devotee in one of the rooms, he was sitting there on the ground floor and he was putting stamps, postal stamps on envelopes which were supposed to be sent to the devotees. It was regarding some notification which need to be advised by post. When he was doing it, Swami Shivananda walked inside the room and he asked him that, "My son, what are you doing?" He said, "Swamiji, I have been instructed to put a postal stamp on each envelope and then make sure that everything is okay and then I post it." He said, "So what you are doing?" He said, "Swamiji, I am putting the stamp." He said, "That is where you are going fundamentally wrong. You are not putting the stamp of revenue of government of India. That time, of course, it was British Raj. You are not putting the government stamp for the postal authority. You are doing Bhagwan Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's work. Every activity, every action, reaction, interaction must be re-evaluated in our own mind consciously that it is God's work. Swami once told me, never differentiate that this is my work and this is God's works. Everything is God's work. Never also distinguish that this is physical, this is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Because you are basically spirit. That is why he said, you are a spiritual being having human experiences. Not other way around, which we understand and which we believe and which we live, that we are human being having spiritual experiences. No. That's a wrong formula. Anyway, let's go back. So, that particular day when he called me inside the inner room, he was telling me that, "Puppet, do you know the art of living with me?" And then he himself replied, because he's a tender loving mother, he knew that I didn't know it. And he never wanted to hear that thing from me. If a little child comes back from the school and mother will ask very tenderly, lovingly, that what did you learn today? And if the child says, "I didn't do anything or I didn't learn anything," mother will be disappointed, isn't it? Because she has sent the child with such hope and expectations that one day he'll become a great man. One day she will shine like a bright star. So Swami knew my ignorance. So he said, "Prabhupada, now, listen carefully, consciously, and contemplate upon it when you go outside. Number one, first purify your vision. Number two, clarify your thoughts. Number three, sanctify your intention. Number four, verify your action. Number five, solidify your sadhana. And last but not the least, simplify your life." Brothers and sisters, if we concentrate upon what Swami said, starting with purify your vision, he told me, "Close your eyes and see God in meditation. Open your eyes and see God in creation." That is purifying the vision. Reverence for God, reverence for man, reverence for creation is Sai teaching. When we have that purification process consciously implanted in our hearts, mind and body complex, then we have purified our vision. Then we will not see any evil. Swami told us in one of the group interviews, when you see evil outside, that means you are reflecting your own being. In God's creation, nothing is wrong. Nothing is made without purpose. Nothing is lying at a place without any meaning. Everything is created with the master plan and the universal Lord has done everything in his own image. So when I see evil, when I see that somebody is jealous, he is reflecting my own negative energy. That's all. So Swami said, first purify your vision. Then clarify your thoughts. How will you clarify? Swami again explained to me. Sikshat shiksha dega. Guru diksha dega. I'll translate it. Acharya disha dega. Bhagwan sakshi bhav dega. Let's go back. Teacher will teach you the alphabets. Acharya, who has practiced what he is preaching, will show you the direction to reach the destination. It's like a signpost. Bangalore, 132 kilometers. So you know that you are on the motorway and you are going in the right direction. That's it. But by looking at that signpost, you will not reach Bangalore. You got to drive, isn't it? 132 kilometers. Am I right, Brother Prishti?
Yes, yes.
Acharya Disha Dega. Guru Diksha Dega. Guru will tell you the mantra. Or he will shower his grace on you. Or he will bless you. That you may you progress on that path which has been laid down by our sages and saints from time immemorial. But Bhagwan, very beautiful he said, Shakshi Bhav Dega. He will make you to live like a witness. Brothers and sisters, if you really want to live with Swami, loving God, living God, then let us become witness consciously. Today we are watching everything. No, we are not watching. We are only seeing. Swami once told me, he said, puppet, when you go to the auditorium and when 2,000 people are sitting there and when you are doing puppet show, 2,000 people are not watching you. Kadu kadu. 4,000 eyes are observing you. Have you ever thought about it, Brother Pushti? You only think that 2,000 people are present there. No. 4,000 eyes are observing you. That is Swami's perception. Must do it consciously. So purify your vision. Clarify your thoughts. Bhagwan said, thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts are more powerful than Concorde aircraft, Mach 1 speed. They travel without any limitations and without any obstructions. Sitting in front of Mandir, in Mahasamadhi Mandir, I can reach San Francisco in the most interior part of the San Francisco beautiful city without visa, without passport, without ticket. With open eyes. By my thought. Thoughts are very powerful. Thoughts are nothing but the waves of electromagnetic energy. Much more powerful. So Swami always used to say, first before you think, think whether you are on the path of prayers or shreyas. Do you really want to become good or you want to become great? Bhagwan once told me, Hitler was great, no doubt about it. He was a fantastic orator. He was a loyalist. He wanted Germany to be number one. He wanted Germany to become number one power in the world. But was he good? No. Whereas Churchill, who was the prime minister then during the wartime, was not a great man, but he was a good man. Brothers and sisters, when you live with the living master, we must have to decide, do you really want to become good or great? I leave these thoughts with you. Let's move on. Purify your vision. Clarify your thoughts. But then he said, sanctify your intention. And this is something which I'm going to say now, and which probably if one of my brother listeners all over the world today, if you have pen and pencil and paper in front of you, or if you are able to remember what I'm saying, it is worth writing it down in your diary. Good actions done with wrong intentions are bad actions. Bad actions performed with good intentions are right actions. Swami says, actions can be faulty. Actions can be wrong. Action can be inappropriate. Action cannot be timely all the time. But the intention must be good. In Islam they say, niyat. Your intention must be good. And what is goodness? Samasta loka sukhino bhavanti. Is it in the spirit of the welfare of the people? Paropkaraya punyaya papaya parapidanam. That is the essence of the 18 Puranas which was summarized by Veda Vyasa in Sanskrit. And for our benefit, Swami, knowing that we are not very expert, neither we are interested in learning Sanskrit, I'm sorry to say that, which is the language of the Lords, God, and he said it, help ever, hurt never. What does puppet do? Help never, hurt ever. And I want to live with living God. How is it possible? Diametrically opposite. Let's go back. So first of all, purify your vision. Clarify your thoughts. Sanctify your intentions. What is my innermost intention which only I know? People will only see the reaction. Just now before this program started, we heard two beautiful stories and they were talking about how an evil man became a good man and how a good man became an evil man. Because one had a good intention, the other was lacking of that. What must be my intention? Swami again explained. Swarth nahi hai. There is no selfishness. Niswarth bhi nahi hai. There is absence of even selfishness. Parmarth bhi nahi hai. There is no trace of doing good for others. Whatever this thing I am doing, they are motivated by the intention of Sai Swaraya Prityarthe. I am doing good work not for myself, not for reaching heaven, not seeking salvation, not seeking self-realization. I am doing good action only because I love God. Sai Swaraya Prityarthe. I remember once I came here with a jumbo aircraft. We were 436 passengers on the flight, which were all the beautiful flowers which were selected by Swami, and he made a beautiful garden in the form of the charter flight. When we reached here, and when we came over here, Bhagwan said, puppet, what is the program? I said, Swami, with intense love and all the practices and all the hard work, boys have prepared programs and the sisters are all praying that Swami should give us the wonderful opportunity and we want to make this program a great success because we want to give you happiness. Swami immediately corrected me and he said, puppet, I am always in Brahmanandam. Don't try to make me happy. It's a waste of time. Then Swami said, Brahmanandam, Paramanandam, Nityanandam, Akhandanandam, Atmanandam, Adbhutanandam, Ashyaryanandam, Premanandam, Yoganandam, Turyanandam, pointing at himself, he said, now Satyanandam, but reality is Satchidanandam. So, you go to the ocean and say, I have brought a tumbler of water for you, Achmanam Samarpayami. Does it make sense? Will the one tumbler of water being poured inside the ocean, is it going to make him rich? Is it going to make him happy? This is what exactly we try to do at a physical level with the living master. No. Make him proud. How will you make him proud? Purify your vision. Clarify your thoughts. Sanctify your intention. Let's move on. Verify your action. How will you verify? We have heard the beautiful saying of Bhagwan, which, pardon my saying, it has become a slogan. Love all, serve all. How do you love all? Do I have the capacity to love all? Do I have the resources to love all? Do I have the ability to love all? No. I only love those whom I like. I love only those whom, with whom I am related. Even if that is also a great thing. If I love my mother, I am doing a favor to her. Because right now, you know, when my mother becomes 80 years old, I put her in an old age home. Where is Matru Bhakti? Where is Pitru Bhakti? I welcome you as a guest. Moment you say you are going to live there you are going to stay with me for 10 days, my face drops. Are you? You come here and you are going to stay with me for 10 days, you have got accommodation problem. Guest normally I welcome only in 3 days in Kali Yuga. On the 10th day probably you will show me a railway timetable. Brothers and sisters, pardon my saying. I am not trying to ridicule anybody, but I am telling you the truth. So, verify your action. Love all, serve all. On the touchstone of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa, which I have been teaching right from the time I declared my avatarhood. Have I the ability? Is there any need to go and water each and every branch of the tree and every leaf? Can you do it? You consider the entire universe, the cosmos, as the creation of Swami. Can you go and love all? Suppose your lifetime span with God's grace is 100 years. Can you accomplish that? I think at physical level it is impossible. But if you water the roots, the tree need not be nurtured, every branch and every leaf. They automatically will get the nourishment from the roots and they will become green and then there will be blossom and then there will be beautiful flowers and then ultimately the fruits will appear. Isn't it, Brother Purushtik?
Yeah.
So we have to first go down to the roots. What is the root? What is my true identity? God. Do I love Him? Consciously, unconditionally, selflessly, without any tinge of selfishness and bargain. I remember Swami during those days used to play words with words, you know. His wordplay is very famous. One day he was telling me, he said, Puppet, before you come and take the flight from Heathrow Airport, you go to duty free, isn't it? He said, Chay, kaadu kaadu, buddhi ledu, akal nahi hai. Not duty free, free duty. Not duty free, free duty. You are looking for bargain all the time. Put the bar on the gain and you will have a real bargain. How beautifully he explained. Am I loving God without any expectations? Or is there any interior motive? Okay, it could be sattvic. I'm forgetting about rajasic and tamasic, it's a waste of time. Even if you take sattvic, pure intention of self-realization, even that is a desire. That is begging. An American devotee once asked Swami Vivekananda, the great choicest master of Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa Deva, that Swamiji, I am planning to come to India to seek God. Swamiji just beautifully smiled in Chicago and he said, my dear son, in India we don't seek God, we see God. Seeking is different. It requires efforts. Do you really make efforts to see? It happens. Your eyes are open, it will see automatically. Your ears will hear automatically. You breathe. Do you make any efforts to breathe, Brother Pushti? No effort is required. No calories are burned. And even if they are burned, you are not aware of it. The mechanism is made like that. So, do I love God in that manner? Effortlessly, consciously, without any expectations whatsoever. If we have the time, I would like to narrate one very beautiful story.
Yeah, please go on.
In a kingdom, a king was very generous and very majestic and very royal and he was very righteous. He was really genuinely concerned about his subject that he wanted to make them very happy, prosperous and peaceful. He was also a great devotee of Lord Mahavishnu. On a Sunday morning, he was sitting in the garden. And for years together, that used to be his routine. That Monday to Saturday, he used to attend to his royal work, day-to-day work. He used to attend all the meetings conducted by the Prime Minister and he used to give the advice and he used to go and look after the welfare of all the subjects. But on Sunday, it was a day of holiday. When I say holiday, I mean not H-O-L-I, H-O-L-Y. So he used to sit in the garden and think about God. And internally he used to be, his attitude was gratitude. By the way, brother, I just heard your announcement about the Dashara and the Veda Purusatta Gnani Agna and also the Vidwan Mahasabha. I would like to add, with your kind permission, that there will be Gram Seva, which is Ram Seva.
Yes.
And there, everything is done in the name of Lord Rama, Sai Rama.
Yes.
Right? So, on Sunday morning, his attitude was gratitude. I remember in 2009, Swami told me, Puppet group aayega? I said, haan Baba aayega. Kitna bachya aayega? I said, Swami, as you say. He said, how many chapters in Srimad Bhagavad Gita? I said, 18. He said, bring 18 boys.
Oh, okay.
And then Swami said, 18 boys aayega, gram seva karega. Your, what is the theme of the gram seva? I said, Baba, as you say. He said, this year's Gram Seva is your attitude is gratitude. Mm-hmm. So in that spirit, the king used to go back to that story. The king used to sit on the garden, royal garden in the palace, and he used to keep on contemplating and keep expressing his gratitude to God. For him, for his wife, for his family, for the royal entourage, and also for the entire subjects of his kingdom. Lord Mahavishnu himself appeared one day, Sunday morning, in his full regal gala. Sorry. And he said, my son, you are Dharma Rakshaka, Dharma Samsthapanaka. You are king and yet you are living hands in society, head in forest. I want to bless you with a boon. Ask anything. He said, oh my dearest Lord, with your divine grace, I have got everything at my disposal, which is, I am holding it in trust. You are the giver. You have given me everything. There is no scope for giving anything more. I am full. Purnamada, purnamidam, purnat, purnamudachyate. What can you be added in the ocean? It's already full. Lord Mahavishnu said that, look, I took the time from coming from Mahavaikuntha only for your sake. I want to really give you a boon. Please tell me what exactly you want. Because I am really very happy the manner in which you are living the life. You have really made me proud, going back to what Swami was telling me. Don't try to make me happy. Make me proud. Brothers and sisters, the haggling was going on between the king and the Lord Mahavishnu. Lord was saying that ask for a boon and the king was saying no, I got everything. Finally, it was a question of almost 15 minutes of time, which is so valuable. Because he creates the entire universe within 3 seconds. It is said in the scriptures. That's why Lord Vaman, when he came as Vaman Avatar, he asked for only 3 steps. Anyway, so he said that, Lord, since you are insisting and you are so keen and intense in giving me a boon, may I say something with your permission? He said, yes, tell me. He said, Lord, the place where you are standing there, na, it is obstructing the sun rays to come on my face. I would like to enjoy the sun bath. Can you slightly move away?
Oh my God.
Can you slightly move away 5 feet so that I can have that direct contact with Aditya Narayana? Adideva namastubhyam prasidamam bhaskara, divakara namastubhyam pravakara namastute, aditasya namaskaram ye kurvanti dinendine, janmantara sahastresu dvaridram nopajayate. Kindly shift yourself 5 feet away so that I can have direct darshan of sun god. This is known as Nishkam Bhakti. This is known as Saishwaraya Prityarthe. Lena dena band hai. There is no giving and taking. Phir bhi anand hai. And what kind of anand? Brahma anandam parama sukhadam kevalam jnanamurtim.
Amazing. Really amazing. I mean, on one occasion when Bhagwan asked the students, what is Nishkama Bharti? Nishkama Karma. And so like many people understand it, they said, Swami, to do selfless work and, you know, not expect anything in return and all that. Swami said, no, that is not Nishkama Karma. So what is Nishkama Karma? Swami said, Nishkama Karma is when you know that you are not the doer. Only then it is Nishkama Karma.
Taking a cue from Brother Pushti, what he said, that you do not have the feeling of doership. I remember once in the interim, Swami told me very candidly and very categorically that, Puppet, in spirituality there is no scope for knowership, doership, donorship and ownership. Whatever God has given you, you are only a mere witness and trustee. You have to hold everything in trusteeship. I remember once a person in Varanda told me, looking at my all the 5 rings which Swami has blessed me, plus the beautiful diamond watch and also a beautiful golden bracelet, and he said, Papad, you are wearing such beautiful thing, you know, you are a very fortunate man. I said, sir, these all belongs to Swami. It's not mine. Because he trusts me, he has given me to wear it. It is not mine. I am only grateful to him that he is allowing me and trusting me to keep it. So don't give me any crazy idea that I am having it. I am not having it. He has given it to me. Out of love and compassion, it belongs to him. Likewise, the knowledge, the wealth, the name, the fame, the prosperity is given by him. I am only a witness. I am holding it only in trusteeship. I have one son and one daughter. I am not their father. No. At physical level, yes. But in reality, they have been given to me. Those souls have come to me for their empowerment and for their time plan as decided by the Lord. And I am there only to protect them. That is why Swami told me, love all for my sake. Serve all in my name. Otherwise you will get ego. Help ever in my name. Hurt never for my sake. Because he is mine. Ni hriday nivasi, ni sarvantaryami. I am there as a breath, pranavayu. Love all, serve all for my sake. Not for any other person. Not for any other reason. Not because he happens to be at physical level my father or grandfather. No. That is very elementary. When you have to live with living God, how to live with him? You have to consciously understand that you are not, as you said very rightly, there is no scope of doership. The doership language was used by Duryodhana. You know what happened to him. Arjuna said what? Karishye vachanam tava. O Lord, I shall do whatever you command.
You command.
Your wish is my command.
Amazing. Talking about your rings, I'm really tempted to ask about one particular ring that you are wearing, which has the shape of two hearts, which is a very unusual ring. I want to ask you, what is the story behind this, and was there a message when Bhagwan gave that very special ring?
Yes, it reminds me of a very wonderful incident which happened in year 2000. I was very fortunate to be, because of the grace of Bhagwan, I happened to be there on my birthday. Normally in Varanda, people on the birthday, they were allowed to bring a small tray with a flower and some kind of offering and seek Bhagwan's blessing. Knowing fully well, consciously, that Bhagwan knows everything and he's all knowing, all hearing and all seeing, I did not do such preparation. I went there as usual at every day, as if nothing had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Birthday is not an event. It happened because he decided to do so. So I was sitting there. Bhagwan came very gracefully in the veranda. This was the year 2000. And he came to me and he said, birthday boy? I said, yes, Swami. He said, Papad, you didn't tell me today is your birthday. I said, Baba, you know it, na? He said, of course I know it. Huh? Tell me what is that I don't know it. This afternoon, you and wife, I'll see you. True to his word, he came in the afternoon at about 3:30 and he called me inside, me and my wife, and there was another group from Italy. Sorry. Bhagwan asked me, where is my diamond? So I showed him the Navaratna ring and I said, Baba, there is one diamond here. And then I showed another ring which Baba has materialized, where he himself has put his own portrait of 50th birthday and it is surrounded by 16 diamonds.
Hmm.
It's also a very unique ring.
Hmm.
So Bhagwan, I showed it to him and he said, no, that is me. Where is your diamond? Dye the mind and you are a diamond. Puppet, I wanted that answer. You are the diamond. You are my diamond. When you will dye the mind, manonasham, what is mind? Bundle of desires. When you will become devoid of any desire, and the only desire will be to become desirelessness, then you are a diamond. then you will be shining like the star. So he said, you are the diamond. He said, anyway, you failed in your test. So I said, Swami, I have now realized it. He got up from his chair and he waved his hand and he made this beautiful diamond ring, which has got two beautiful diamonds, very big one, and both are in the shape of heart. And they are connected with a gold ring. And he told me, before putting it on my finger like a divine mother, he said, left side is me, right side is you. Our relationship is heart to heart. And it is connected by gold, bangaru. When you will become real bangaru, you will find that connection automatically.
Oh, wow.
What is bangaru? Gold, which never fades, which never becomes impure, which is pure, which is shining, which is valuable. When your life will become that, you are connected. Brothers and sisters, let's go back to our original topic. That's how puppet show works. Purify your vision. Sanctify your intention. Clarify your thoughts. Verify your action on the touchstone of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. Next is solidify your sadhana. Swami once said very beautifully that I know that you all are doing some kind of spiritual practices, depending upon your own individual temperament. Someone is karma yogi, some is jnana yogi, some believes in Rajavidya, Rajaguhya yoga, and he does dhyanam. Another one is a sadhaka who is believing in totality of Saddhavan Labhate Sarvam. He is Jnana Yogi. Huh? But Bhagavan said very beautifully that whatever may be your temperament, whatever sadhana that you know, I know you do it. I am not looking the path at which you are following. I am not looking at the way in manner in which you are conducting your sadhana. That is not important to me. Because whether it is karma yoga, whether it is bhakti yoga, whether it is jnana yoga or dhyana yoga, they are all leading to the same objective. All are going to the ultimate source to that. Whether river Ganga coming from Gaumukh to Gangotri and then down to Haridwar and then via Rishikesh comes down all the way to Prayag at Allahabad and then reaches, you know, merging with the Ganga Sagaram as it becomes, and then she merges with her master, the ocean, and she becomes one with one, the only one. The important thing is, no matter which path you are following, what I am looking is the sincerity, the intensity, the persistency, the consistency. Are you doing your sadhana? Have you solidified your sadhana on the principle of consistency, persistency and intensity? And then Swami very beautifully explained to me, intensity of a man who is dying in the desert at 12 in the afternoon for a drop of water. Intensity of a man who is a multi-billionaire and he has suddenly become pauper. Intensity of a chaste wife for her beloved husband. When you combine these three together, it becomes a rasayanam, it becomes a chemical formula, which Ramakrishna Paramahansa Deva used to say, madhur bhavam. Those of us who have read gospel, they will remember this master's formula. When these three intensities are combined, then it becomes madhur bhava, which Radhaji had, which gopis and Gopika had. That is why when Uddhav came and said that Krishna is Brahmanda Nayaka, he said, Uddhavji, with due respect, keep that knowledge with yourself. We believe in Vasudev Krishna, the one who is to play Murli for us. For us, he is our God. He is our Kana. Swami said, solidify your sadhana. One fine morning, suddenly Papad will get the idea, tomorrow morning onward I will do 21 Omkar. I will do Suprabhatam. I will do it for 1 month. One Saturday night, I have a late night. The city is on fire. I come back. I see my favorite program on the television. By that time, it is midnight. Then I console my own self and I convince my own self that tomorrow is Sunday, I will take it easy. And I will pray to Swami, Swami, please forgive me. Monday morning, I will do Suprabhatam. That is not consistency. No, you are looking for excuse. Is God looking for excuse? If Papad, having had so many drawbacks, having had so many inadequacies, having had so many sins committed knowingly, unknowingly, advertently, inadvertently, consciously and unconsciously, is he qualified to enter the gate of Prashanti Nilayam? The answer is no. And yet the answer is yes, because my master is so compassionate, so loving. He has never evaluated my merits. He is consistent. He only sees good. He says, see no evil. He practices. I remember once, Brother Pushti, I was going back to London. I was in the inner room. After the aarti, I was supposed to go back to my room, pick up my baggage, and head for Bangalore and via Dubai back to London. One of the chairperson of a trust and also member of the Satya Sai Seva Organization Trust had asked me to bring a message from Swami. Swami was in a very hilarious mood that day. He's Anandam, Brahmanandam, Paramanandam. So I took the liberty of saying, I said, Baba, I'm going back today with your divine grace. He said, Chesko. For those of you who don't understand Telugu, Swami was pointing at his lotus feet and saying, take. So I bowed down to his lotus feet and Swami said, Puppet, what message you want? I said, sir, Baba, the devotees in London, they were praying and they told me that, Puppet, if you get the opportunity to have a word with Swami, please request Swami to give message for our center. Swami said one thing, which is worth writing down in diary, brothers and sisters. Please do it for my sake, for God's sake. Satya Sai does what he says. Period. He didn't elaborate. There was complete silence. Satya Sai does what he says. Does Popat do what he says? Do I keep my promise? I don't keep my promise given to my own mother. What to talk about others? I'm talking about myself, brothers and sisters, on Radio Sai, when millions of people are listening. I'm not making any judgment. I've got no right to do any criticism. I'll be failing miserably in the eyes of my Swami. I'm raising this fundamental question to my own self that, am I doing what I'm saying? And honestly speaking, I must confess, and I'm very apologetic, that many, many times I have failed. I don't do what I say. Then how can I know how to live with living God? Did Swami ever fail? He said, see no evil, see only good. He said, think no evil, think only good. He said, do no evil, do only good. His entire life, until the last drop of blood, he did what he said. Show me one instance where he summarized his entire avatarhood in only in one sentence. My life is my message. Can Papad, when he will be breathing his last moment, will he be able to convince himself consciously and say that Papad's life is his message? That Papad's life is Swami's message. That Lord's vision is my mission. And Lord's mission is my vision. If I have not done it, if I have failed it, it is never too late, they say in English. I think we are looking at the watch. We are nearing coming to the end of this puppet show. I have tried my level best in this limited time to do justice to the subject which was chosen by Brother Pushti. I am very grateful to him. How to live with living God. Because we all have experienced Swami's love. But I am very open to say, very frankly, very few people have understood the significance of learning the art of living with living God. If we all will live and lead the life according to the divine expectations, Brother Pushti was telling us that the golden age was the dawn when Bhagwan instituted Veda Purusapta Gnani Yagna and also the Vidwan Mahasabha. I would say, and take the liberty of saying emphatically, that golden age has not only commenced, the golden has become glorious by living with living God. With these few words, I also pray, Insha'Allah, as they say it in Islam, Alhamdulillah, God willing, His timing is right. Bhagwan once told me very categorically in front of the boys that Papa thinks that I do everything at the last moment. Kadu kadu. Buddhi ledu. I do everything at the right moment. And as Bhagwan Ramakrishna Paramahamsa in Dakshineshwar used to say, mango will fall when it is ripe. So when the time will be ripe, when the opportunity and the time will be very conducive according to Swami's saying of Samay Sandarbha, when it is ideal, and when I will be honored again, once again, to visit Radio Sai, to have another puppet show, we will continue the same subject because I have not finished with this subject. Life cannot be summarized in one word, and yet it can be summarized and lived in one word. I will talk about that how.
Oh, wonderful. Sure.
You do not have to read the entire book. You only read the title and you have read the book. That's what Swami Vivekananda used to say. You look at the life of Mahatma Gandhi. You do not have to see where he was born and how he led this freedom struggle. He only said one thing and that signified his entire life. Satyameva Jayate.
Yes.
That is the emblem of India, isn't it?
Yes.
The entire life of Lord Satya Sai Baba, my beloved Swami, can be summarized only in one thing. Brahmanandam. Satchidanandam. Jai Sai Ram.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir. I know you can go on and on. You are a battery who is all the time charged. and we have seen that this effervescent charm of yours in sharing Bhagwan's message, and which we have done it live in Bhagwan's presence on so many occasions. Every Prashanti Vidyan Mahasabha had you speaking. Whenever Bhagwan saw you in the portico, he would ask you to speak, and you were part of every festival. And not only that, you have not only been part of the Dasara celebrations, you have also been so much an integral part of the Gram Seva. And the reason I did not mention about Gram Seva in the beginning is, I know that there are so many youth who have been working with you, who are inspired by you, are coming for the Gram Seva. And I wanted to have a special session only about the Gram Seva with the members of the UK youth team, and I thought we should have this session earmarked to discuss their experiences, their journey to Swami, and their reflections about how is it being part of the Gram Seva along with these students of Bhagwan's University. And of course we will have to continue what you started off today about how to live with the living master. In fact, I'm just reminded of one very beautiful saying. Someone said, the best way to value the master is to master his values. And I think that is something for all of us to ponder and reflect, ruminate, and then implement in our lives. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios. And I hope and pray that we'll continue this discussion. And dear listeners, yes, the time is running out, the clock is ticking, and I will have to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Life. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a dance drama by Balvika's children from Kerala. This was presented on 28th August 2004. The title of this drama is Ambarisha. So you will listen to this. As always, do keep sending in your emails. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Your feedback always helps us to know where we are going and how to reevaluate ourselves and how to reprogram ourselves so that we can offer beautiful bouquets of His love to everyone, because ultimately we are only in this business very beautifully, which Mr. Popat said that transformation is not important. We have to become transformers, and we can only do that once we ruminate on His life and His teachings and then translate that in our lives and become those, as Bhagwan said, not street dogs but street lamps. Become that bouquet of fragrance, the fragrance which spreads everywhere, and become that prashanti, so that the prashanti of prashanti travels everywhere. So dear listeners, please keep sending in your emails. Finally, on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, thank you so much for your words of encouragement, and I'm grateful to Swami for having given us this beautiful opportunity of sharing His message and dwelling on His love. Let us make our lives His message. Thank you so much. Salam.